The big focus of this book and the big problem of community that it deals with is a problem of the public life. Remember I said the subtitle is Christians and the Renewal of America's Public Life. And as we pointed out, the assumption is that the kind of the common life, the general good, that sort of thing, the solidarity of community that binds us together, the visions that we share and all that, have been in the process of decay and loss. And so the question is, as a Christian people, how do we see our task? And there have been several books written on the whole idea of the public. The Naked Public by Richard Newhouse. And Martin Marty has written a book on the topic. And Martin Marty, by the way, wrote the introduction to this book. He claims it's the best. So, anyway, so the question I want to raise and have you talk about, and I'll sit here quietly until you talk about it. And I won't fill the gaps in with my great wisdom. So, I do, and the question is, what do we mean by private? And what do we understand private is over against? I mean, what do we mean by public? And what do we mean by public over against private? Wrong place. So that's the question. What do you understand public to be?
Holden Village.
What?
Holden Village.
That's a good question. Do we have, what are the components of public and private in Holden Village as you see it?
Forestry says we have to be.
Now, but what does that mean?
That means that it's open to anybody who wants to come.
Well, that's isn't that pretty good? Public is a place where everybody feels free to come. And it's not private territory. And although the Lutheran Church owns Holden Village, they can only hold it as a public place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They own the mine, 240 acres.
Right.
And they own this, the use of this area, mm-hmm. as long as they behave.
Right. Well, the next question I would ask is, Does Holden Village operate like a public place?
No. In some ways it does, but I think that, to me, for something to be a public place, it also needs to be fairly easily accessible. You can get here, yeah. But it's not that easily accessible.
By current standards.
Yeah.
By what? By modern standards.
Yeah. Communication.
Accessible by modern standards.
Yeah.
Communication to others than Lutherans is minimal.
Now that's a good point. Mm-hmm. We're getting at it, I think.
Yeah, and at the same time, you practically have to have reservations to get here, so yeah. It's not truly public either.
In other words,
they warn you, you have to have not to come up here unless you have reservations.
In other words, you don't have a reservation and don't have money to buy a ticket, you don't make it.
Right. But then that's typical too of a hotel.
Or even
a hotel is private property.
No. National Park, you've got to make reservations.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have to have your $3 or $5 or $6, whatever it is now.
Unless you're a senior.
I think also with the accessibility, you know, you're saying, well, it being easily accessible, I think it isn't as far the distance because, you know, we consider a national park to be very public, but you do have to get in a car for a number of hours to get there.
Oh, yeah.
I think it, in a sense, it's more that because accessible in the sense that it does have kind of a theme and that, you know, when you come here, that in basis, though it's open to everyone, it is going to be primarily Lutheran.
Otherwise,
in that sense, you know, it's an understanding of that there is going to be this community.
In other words, you can't come here and say, I'm going to take this time to work on my golf.
I guess what I mean to say is it's more a situation of motivation. Who else but a Lutheran would be, or mainly Lutherans being motivated.
Well, I'll let you know at the end of the week how a Methodist feels about it.
Yeah, or a Catholic, or at least a Jew, or a Hindu.
But hiking organizations come up here. They were here last year when I was here, and they didn't even participate in our program. They had a hiking program all week laid out, you know.
Well, this is an interesting case of a quasi-public, quasi-private organization, right? And I think one of the tests you said, and I think you're right about that, a public place has to be accessible to anybody.
Yeah.
Can't be a lot of restrictions on it.
Any facility, public or private, is going to have restrictions. I mean, otherwise it's just, it could fall apart. I mean, it's going to have rules associated with its use. And it's going to have restrictions on its carrying capacity. I mean, you're just dealing with restrictions on, you know, the ability of an organization to sustain a facility, more than whether it's public or private.
Right. And but the state puts certain limitations on restrictions that you can make. They really say only white Protestants could come here. You'd be in trouble.
I'd hate to see what would happen if somebody refused.
I wouldn't come here.
refused the group that call themselves erroneously atheists, because there ain't no such animal. But they say they're atheists. Refuse them once, you'd have ACLU all over you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They'd be saying something terrible about Holden if you tried.
That's right. It's supposed to be inclusive. You know, this is an interesting issue because the Church Council of Greater Seattle, which I served for 20 years, wants to be inclusive, and which means that we are a Christian organization comprised of Christian organization and people. And anybody could come and work in our task forces and so on. And we hired a young woman who's a Jainist. Now, Jainist is a Indian, you know, East Indian religion. And she felt that, and we have it all written in big words, we will seek to be inclusive, right? That we were discriminatory towards people of other faiths. And we have the whole council arguing about it. When I left, it was an unresolved problem. How can a Christian organization not talk about Christian goals and objectives, right? And being it would seem to affront a genus of a person. It's not resolved. And why I say it's not resolved, because we have not resolved the issue in America of how we deal with other people. We have not yet resolved the problem of pluralism. Theoretically, yes, we're very inclusive. And it gets right down to it, and I have the same problem. It's a personal problem with me. If you join an organization that's supposed to have certain orientation, you're going to expect something, right? That we claim we don't. I mean, we don't discriminate. Well, that's part of it. Anything else about public?
A number of years ago, I worked one summer from South Dakota in Mount Rushmore. I got to know the lady that one of the most influential people, I guess, in South Dakota owns the concession building up there at Mount Rushmore. Her close friend was James Watt, this guy that used to be in Reagan's administration. And
Interior Secretary.
And anyway, she was telling me what a great guy he was one day, and it was kind of interesting listening to her, because what she said about James Watt was that he wanted to open up the national parks to everybody. The critics would say he wanted to turn them into parking lots or something where people could zoom up there, but her big thing was the battle between that and the Sierra Club, which in her words were these very elitist people who just kind of wanted to close off the national parks to just about everybody except those who maybe could hike into them or could And so it was kind of interesting.
Well, why, if you look at that from the point of view of the public,
yeah.
What was very public? What was public about it?
I never could figure it out.
Not its use, but the fact that everybody had a claim on it, right?
And the debate about it.
The debate about it was a public debate, mm-hmm. Right? So that
so
was public.
What was being debated on?
Well, the debate is whether the Sahara Club has any special rights to make, prohibit people to do certain things at Mount Rushmore.
Well, beyond that, they want one to open up the national parks for exploring for oil and the minerals of various types, which really got the public aroused.
All right, the great rake-off. Every time I think about that, I get angry. But at any rate, and a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, under Reagan, was the head of the forestry department.
What's his name?
His name was John Kroll. He was an attorney for Georgia Pacific Corporation, a good man, a very devout Christian Presbyterian minister's son, but it was like putting the fox in the chicken house, right? He was supposed to protect the public domain for us.
Can you name a really public place where there's no charge, no nothing, no anything that is really public, that you don't have to go through something to get there?
I would think any public place is going to be a place in which, to be truly public, it's something that they would have to have an investment in of some kind. I mean, whether it's their own labors to create it or to maintain it, mm-hmm. in some form or another, they have to support it. I guess mm-hmm. they do through taxes for national parks,
yeah,
and forests,
I mean,
like that.
Yeah, we claim that because we pay money for it.
Right. So it is something that they have a personal investment financially in, so of some kind. Mm-hmm.
You want a public place, easy to get to, and anybody can get to it, and that's the sandy beaches out at Ocean Shores and along the Washington-Oregon coast.
Especially the Oregon coast.
Why especially the Oregon?
Because the Oregon coast has made all the beaches public property, not in Washington.
They're,
except
today. They're the only non-public beaches, oceanfront beaches, is on the Indian reservations.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a bill, later
yeah.
bill.
Oh, right.
We did. We had a bill several years ago, yeah. But,
yeah.
But back, Oswald West, he was a guy that, early in part of the century, in Oregon, as a kind of a, really a first, got the legislature to enact a law that all the beaches in the state of on the Oregon coast are public. You can't buy them.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
You can buy up to a certain point.
Yeah.
But and I don't think that they've actually figured out how to figure it yet.
Yeah. Right. Well, let me just Jen.
I was thinking that some of the most public places we have today, or seem to be in cities and bigger or little cities, are the malls. People go, they go on Sunday, they go all the week, they don't know anybody, they sit there. It's a public place.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's owned privately, the citizen is treating it as a public place.
I know a lot of my grandparents used to like to go to the malls because it was a place to go. Where it was cool.
Uh-huh.
In the Midwest, it's free air
conditioning. At the same time, that's private property.
But
it is private property.
But doesn't
it's advertising.
Yeah.
Doesn't a public place have to be someplace where community, where there's something that brings people together for a common purpose, and not public? No, I guess not.
No, it doesn't. Well, Jan brought this thing up about a mall. Parker Palmer is very sure about himself on that one, and he doesn't like malls. He said, the mall appears to be a place, he said, of public life, and I shall try to show later that it has a potential, but the typical shopping mall tends to repress rather than evoke public experience. The strangers one encounters on the city streets are for the most part fellow citizens of the local community, and the public life is enhanced by this sense of geographic relatedness. But the mall, as one writer has put it, is a placeless space. It is not identified with any local community, but strives to, and this is his word for it, to create a creative and a fantasy environment conducive only to shopping, not to the cultivation of public relatedness. Then he quotes a man. Every night I begin to cough. Have you noticed every day?
You could be allergic to the crowd too, you know.
I think so. That's a possibility. I may ask for a new class. Anyhow, but he says, and he's quoting this man, he says, if Mao have a mindset, a spiritual, why don't you read this section right here for me while I come up, throw it up, this little section right there.
If malls have a mindset, a spiritual epicenter, it's not the city. The city, the rural, suburb, or rural America, but out there, in between, just off the highway, those alien forms with their magnetic power to attract customers and retailers from everywhere are arranging the landscape. The suburban malls found they were creating new traffic patterns, drawing customers from cities and towns and other suburbs as far as 40 to 60 miles away. Developers learned they could get away with a minimum of relationship to the community and still attract thousands.
That's what he says about malls.
That's what my grandfather, he ran a general store in a small town for a period of time. And when the malls came to the cities, it killed all of the small town general stores. They all shut down.
Right. And it is not a public place. I think I mentioned earlier that we have a big mall called the Bellevue Mall in Bellevue, Washington. And the truth of the matter is, it does draw people from all over the region, not just the people there. The worst thing about it, the man that is privately owned would not allow handing out leaflets, signing petitions, giving little political forums, maybe a little quasi art here and there, but it was not a public place, right?
Okay. what park is it there in Los Angeles? There's a big park there where every practically any day at any time you can see a guy up on a soapbox haranguing on something or other.
My experience was in Boston, the Boston Common. Of course, this was about 40 years ago. But, if there's a crowd gathering, somebody's been run over, or there's a big fight, but in the Boston Commons, they would be different people all over here. They had a little sofa box, and they were giving a speech.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's in L.A. too.
Yeah, was it in L.A.? I think it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful expression of a public.
And they lifted that little park up and put a great big parking mall underneath it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that gives us a little food for it, but another question I want to ask related. What would you say are some of the components of a public place? If you think about areas, what do you think about when you think about a public place?
Do I have a vested interest in it, maybe? You know, if it's a park, it's mine, if it's my town, my city.
Well, how about your street?
My street.
A street, isn't that a public place? Anybody can walk on a street.
Yeah.
We all have a vested interest in it.
It's a public utility. I think streets are utilities. It's not a place, it's like a tool. It's a place for getting someplace to sleep.
If a whole bunch of people decided to get together in the middle of the street, the police would come and move them out of the way if they're blocking traffic. You know, there's a whole nuisance rules that you can
Yeah.
New permit.
The streets belong to the people, that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, but if somebody's trying to get through, they're people too.
Right, we.
So, I mean, a public, for a public place, I would say that you need to have some definable region to have some organization. I mean, otherwise, public, are you talking the entire United States as being the public? Because the roads are their free thoroughfare.
Well, but streets is where you meet other people, isn't it?
Used to be, I guess.
Well, in other countries, it's still that way.
It is, well, that's.
Big city, it's the last place you want to meet.
But that's part of a problem. We live in a suburban area, and we were 20 years ago. We started walking the streets. You know what I mean? We didn't see anybody walking the streets. Still, not great multitudes walking the streets. Everybody's driving their car.
Didn't people used to? Seems like I've heard that people used to have porches in their houses, and people used to sit on their porches, and people walked down the street and talked to their neighbors, and this and that.
That was my grandmother's entertainment, watching the people going down the street.
Until she got a telephone.
No, she kept it up. But that's it. Yes, go ahead.
In my little town that I grew up in Iowa, we had a town hall that, as I can see it now, it was pretty public.
Now, that's an important place where you have a town hall where people can come together and talk to each other, different people. That is a public place, right? That you're right. Uh-huh. So forums and hearings and lectures and whatever.
Entertainment
is a public place.
Yeah, but each one of those events were scheduled.
Well, yeah. Now, yeah. Getting back to the street. Getting back to the street. You can schedule something on the street.
Right.
In fact, one of the things I've just come to mind is that the last year or so we've been picketing and demonstrating in front of the Boeing company, and to point out how it's a agent of destruction in the world through the Defense Department and the arms race. Also, it will not allow a decent tax to be levied in the state of Washington. You know, so we got a lot of reasons. So. Boeing owns all this land, you know, and there's no place you can pick it, you can demonstrate it, have your little banner. So what we do, there's a street about me to you, it goes a little way, and we demonstrate on that piece of land, because that's public property. Mm-hmm. And we did a walk on Good Friday, and they took a step over that, off that sidewalk. That's public land. That's a public place. That is the public, right? And so the streets are public. And everybody has a right to go to the streets. Of course, sometimes you have to get a little bit of, But what else is a public?
City parks.
City park definitely is. It's the people's park.
Or city squares.
City squares.
Airport or train depot?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they are.
Airports are public?
Churches used to be.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
airports are public. They're part of the port.
Well, public, yes. Sometimes it's a port authority or a airplane authority.
Yeah.
And it's a really a publicly, it's a public place. Right. So you go there and they sell flowers and everything else.
What about a church?
Well, no, that's a good question. Is a church, can a church be a public place? Do we allow the church
Not
to become
ours.
A public place?
Not mm-hmm. ours. We got a community club.
Well, you know, I had an experience a year ago. The National Council of Churches have a racial justice working force, and they wanted to meet in Seattle. And so they get to Seattle, and I arrange meeting all these Native American people, some of the Asian people, and this and that, black people. And they find out that a right-wing group, and they were going to have the meetings in the First Methodist Church. And so they found out that a right-wing group was going to have a conference that following weekend. And so they put a lot of pressure on the minister. No, you've got to not let those people in there. Not let those people in there. They went over his head to the bishop. Said, you've got to stop that guy from allowing having those people in there. And his position was that he allows a gay choir to sing there. He allows all the radical left groups to meet in his church. Therefore, he's going women. Yeah. So he's going to allow those people there. And he stood by his guns. And I admired him for it.
Yeah.
He was trying to make it a public place. Very difficult. Most churches do not allow it. They have very rigid restrictions on what you can do in the church building.
In our church, they vote. The public precinct votes in our church.
Yeah. Now, that a lot of churches do.
Well, yeah.
A lot do that. But when it comes to issues, we get a little more restrictive, I think. Any other places where there is neighbor? Is there
someone there's, say with the church where you can tell if it's a public-oriented church or private one, where the bathrooms are? You can't find it, you know, it's a private place. Got signs and everything directing you.
That's true. But any other places that are public places? How about neighborhoods? I was just looking here.
If you can find a true neighborhood, I'd say yes. But usually it's just...
I'll give you a true neighborhood, the Hilltop in Tacoma. Don't go there.
Oh, okay, bad neighborhoods. Well, it's easy to find.
You're right about that, in that we have built areas to deny a neighborhood. The area where we live, people, I mean, they work, the man works in Seattle, comes home at nights, drives into his housing lot, which is usually well shielded with fences or trees or shrubs from his neighbors, and there is no community there. There might be something now and then, and usually if somebody wants to put a home for the retarded in the area. There's great neighborhood in a minute. You know, it becomes public. But generally speaking, we through the privatization, see, we've been talking about privatization, that we don't allow the public to be.
Neighborhoods, I think, are defined more economically now than as any kind of community sense.
That is,
can you afford to live in this neighborhood or buy a home in this neighborhood? Yeah. Not do you want to live there and know the people there?
Yeah. But you can, if you have the money or whatever, move into a neighborhood. You can.
Right. So that's the thing. It's defined economically.
Yeah, right.
But some of this that you were talking about is sometimes a requirement of the building code. There in the little town I live in now, the smallest parcel out in this one area is 20 acres. And after you get through clearing and building your house, then you've got to plant so many trees so you can't see the house. Hmm. So it still looks like the wooded area.
Yeah. Well, I plead guilty that Jan and I did that very thing. We bought this a third of an acre. We planted 25 trees on it. Now you can hardly find a place.
Hmm.
Now we're in the process of hiring somebody to cut them down. You know, so yes, we did that.
A fireplace?
Oh yes, but there are. You know, it's interesting. You keep talking suburban life and city life. There are two issues that have happened in Seattle. One was the desegregation of the public school system, busing. And they claim that all that in that public arena, that the people who lived in Seattle would move out to suburbia, where there was no busing, and they didn't have to deal with integration because there weren't many, there still aren't, there's some. The other thing, it was an interesting public thing, was prostitution. Bellevue is very strict on what do you call those?
Call girls?
Hot tubs or hot baths or whatever, rub downs or whatever they do.
Massage parlors.
And they are very strict on prostitution. There may be prostitution in hotels.